It is now 23 minutes to 4 o'clock. It's an attractive-sounding prospect, isn't it? Buy local, manufacture local, beneficiate. Localization is lekker. It's one of the central planks of industrial policy under Ibrahim Patel. It's something that Peter Bruce often takes issue in the columns that he devotes to this topic, front page of Business Day Today. There is a headline, Industries Lobby for Local Firms in Public Contracts. Representatives of various industries lobbied strongly in Parliament on Tuesday for priority to be given to localization in preferential public procurement, amongst them the Apparel and Textile Association of South Africa, the Mining Equipment Manufacturers of South Africa, and steel manufacturer Score Metals. The Centre for Development and Enterprise has recently released a paper which discusses the seven sins of localization, which tells you that the paper doesn't think localization is perhaps the optimal policy for South Africa to follow. Executive Director of the Centre, Anne Bernstein, joins us now from Johannesburg. Anne, good afternoon.
Hi, John. Good to be with you. Thank you.
Circular economies keep everything in South Africa. Make the stuff, sell the stuff, buy the stuff in South Africa. Got to be good, surely.
The problem is it's not that simple. This is the second report we've issued on localization. The first one was a few years ago. But since then, localization has become more popular. And that's what happens. Large companies, like many of the interests you've just mentioned, lobbying yesterday for more localized preferences for localization. Once you get them addicted to this, or they get something like this, how are you going to stop? Now, what happens is that you are raising costs. The government has to buy all sorts of services and products, and because they're forced to do it only through local firms, the costs are higher, and often the product isn't as good. I mean, why wouldn't you buy locally? Everybody would, unless you need something better or something cheaper. So we're forcing the economy to become less competitive. We're saying we don't mind paying more, even though we're running out of government money, and we don't mind if consumers pay more. Think of the high price of consumer goods, especially. Take chicken, a very popular example. Are we interested in the producers, or are we interested in millions of consumers at a time when we have double-digit inflation and rising poverty? So,
in an ideal world, Anne, in an ideal world, we're interested in both. Is it not possible to move towards the situation where both the consumer and the producer benefit, if not absolutely equally, then roughly equally?
It certainly is possible to do that, but the best way of doing that is not through forcing government and the private sector, encouraging the private sector to buy local. The best way to do it is to create a much more competitive environment in which new firms, existing firms, new black firms, that they can actually operate in South Africa. We've got to bring down the costs of the South African environment, where energy costs are rising partly through localization provisions, where, you know, the ports and rail doesn't work, and we can go on and all the things that don't work that affect the costs of doing business in South Africa and affect our exports. The interesting thing, John, which I certainly learned in doing all this work, is that, you know, for South Africa to be an export economy, companies need to import intermediate goods or products they use to create the exports for our global, getting into global markets. And if you put tariffs on importing the goods that exporters need, you restrict those kinds of firms and the growth of those firms. So what we're doing is, it seems like we're growing the economy and opportunities for firms, but actually we're favoring the larger firms or the vested interests who really want this, and we are not expanding our economy. Actually, it leads to a reduction because of increased cost.
I often think in relation to the subject of localization, I often think about the clothing and textile industry, which historically was a considerably bigger part of the sort of broader Cape Town economy than it is at the moment. And obviously, I would love all of those sewers and cutters and designers who were working in that industry to still have jobs. Some of them have managed to sort of repurpose and work from home and so on. But there's been a significant job destruction in that market. And the clothes that they used to make are being replaced by clothes that are made in Bangladesh or in Vietnam or somewhere else and then brought into South Africa. And I often go, where do we look for the benefit? Do we look to the consumers who are now buying clothing at 30% off or 40% off or 60% off because it's being brought in from a company that isn't subjected to the same labor rules as we're subjected to in South Africa, that has economies of scale that we can never match in South Africa? And, you know, so where does the best benefit lie? But a listener has just, Peter has just WhatsApped me to say, I so wish for localization, so tired of having to buy Chinese clothing in all the big name stores that are so badly made and badly fitting. Go local. We had a thriving clothing industry here in Cape Town that gave plentiful jobs.
Well, let me tell you a story. So a very valid question and important issues. Some parts of the Cape Town sort of clothing production, but that's often at a higher end, or historically was at a higher end, if you think of Rex, True Form, and companies like that. But some are parts of that, and there was a growth of a low, you know, the sort of, let's call them basic clothes that were being produced in Newcastle. How was this being done? It was because there was some Chinese South Africans with exports, with expertise in producing low-cost clothes and with connections overseas, and started sort of providing clothes to Pick and Pay and others. How did they do this? So they were competitive. No, the unions got involved and our labor laws, where you can do a deal in Cape Town with the top end of the kind of clothing industry, and then the minister extends this to the entire clothing industry. And basically the union said that they were paying, the wages were too low in Newcastle, even though local workers said, these are the best jobs we can get in this area. So when I talk of making the environment much better for business, I'm including low income, you know, low skill manufacturing of basic clothes. Absolutely. We can be competitive. I have enormous faith in South African entrepreneurs and workers that they can be world-class and competitive at certain levels of the market, which is not allowing this to happen. So I think that in large measure is one explanation for the decline in the clothing industry. And if we allow these, you know, women at home who've got a sewing machine to almost, you know, to produce more for the market, but that we could have more happening. So this is part of the problem. We think that if we force people to buy local, that's going to work. It's not. People are going to buy cheap quality clothes or cheap goods that they need. And the reason for localization is we're not competitive. And the key thing to reduce prices for consumers, to grow South African firms, is to reduce the costs of government procurement by not forcing them to buy local, but go for the best and the cheapest, and to have much more competition in South Africa and South Africa and the world. That's how we grow our economy.
Your remarks are not landing terribly well in the ears of at least some of our listeners, those who are sharing. And let me just read you three that have come in the last minute or so. We should support local to create jobs and also for the environment. I presume a reference to the carbon cost of moving those goods from Southeast Asia. I strongly disagree with your current guest. Many of the imported goods in the categories that I'm forced to consider have become cheap and nasty, especially those from the Asian continent. The range of choice has also deteriorated as all the retailers seem to source their goods from the same same suppliers. John, wouldn't it be better to still buy local despite the alleged higher cost, because it takes people off the street, gives them employment, keeps them away from potential crime? The social benefit is also an important consideration. Those are three that have just come in.
Look, I certainly understand people's feelings, but in our analysis and in the view of some of the country's leading economists, this policy of localization is not benign. It does not create more jobs, but actually we're losing jobs. So listen to the Transnet CEO who spoke up recently about the costs of localization. She claimed that local procurement obligations impose an extra 10 to 30%, making it impossible for Transnet to be competitive. Another example I can give you, by a leading economic consultancy, local content requirements have increased the cost of production in South Africa's renewable energy sector by at least 10%. For some firms, it goes up to 60%. Now, if you increase the cost of everybody wants more energy, we want it to be cheaper, but we're increasing the cost of producing alternative energy. So if you do that, you've got to find that money somewhere. You're going to get rid of workers. You're not going to hire more workers. So we're making this a high-cost environment, and that is affecting jobs and not growing the South African economy, and we're making this a less competitive economy, which South Africa desperately needs. We're a small market. We're not a very big population compared to other countries. We have to export. And if you make that more expensive, that's going to affect the economy's growth and job growth.
Anne Bernstein, thank you very much indeed. Executive Director of the Center for Development and Enterprise just brought out a research paper, The Seven Sins of Localization. Can South Africa afford this costly policy? Obviously, it is the view of the CDE that South Africa cannot afford this policy.
EWN Traffic.